buffeting Rukia. She began to cast a Dwyama of levitation. It was probably useless, but she had to try. She didn't even feel as if she was falling anymore. It seemed as if she were standing in a strong wind, her arms out wide to catch as much of the breeze as she could. But the ground loomed ever nearer by the heartbeat. The young girl began to recite a spell she had learned only a couple of 10 days previously. Only because of that had Catti Breed dared to fly so high, for she was, of course, well aware that the magic of her shape-changing ability was a finite thing each day and could leave her abruptly. She began to whisper. She fought the tug of the wind and reached into her small pouch, producing a feather. How Lady Avalier's eyes widened when the girl in the scrying pool suddenly slowed her descent, drifting down, floating down, so gently.
"Mistress," cried Erica, "you saved her."
But Lady Avalier knew that she had done no such thing. In her desperation, she had fumbled her spell casting and had started over, and was nowhere near completing the levitation spell. In any case, she knew it wouldn't have worked through a simple scrying device. Lady Avalier's thoughts whirled with possibilities. Diamone, one of the two students she had sent running, was quite proficient in the levitation spell. Indeed, Avalier had tasked Diamone with cleaning the high windows of their keep in Shade Enclave for just that reason. Had Diamone gotten close enough and saved the girl? But Lady Avalier could only shake her head as she considered the floating Rukia's current position. Even if Diamone had been on the ground directly below her, Rukia would be long out of range of such a Dwyama. There could be only one answer. "She cast the spell," Lady Avalier told the two behind her. "Our little Rukia has learned a new trick, apparently. More powerful than any arcane magic we have yet seen from her," Rial remarked.
"But not more powerful than the druidic magic, surely,"
Erica countered.
"Is there such a spell as that in a druid's repertoire?"
Not knowing the answer, Lady Avalier quickly cast a detection spell aimed at the scrying pool, sensing the emanations around the floating child.
"Arcane," she announced. "We have watched her for many 10 days," Erica said. "How could we have missed this ability, this level of arcane power, and to execute an intricate spell in the middle of such a fall?"
"We haven't witnessed it because it is new," Lady Avalier decided.
And she turned and nodded to drive home the point to her two confused students.
"Our little Rukia is being trained."
She was still several hundred feet above the ground, but now floating down, drifting on the winds as she sank gently, as if in deep water. She did a quick estimation of her height and her descent, and came to the comforting conclusion that the spell's duration would more than suffice to put her safely back to the ground. She had another spell on her lips to control her movement, but she changed her mind and shook her head. She didn't want to be in control now. She wanted to fly, or to float at least, and let the wide winds take her where they may. Catti Breen noted the landmarks below her. And as the ground grew larger, she began to pick out movements here and there. She noted some wolves lying around in the sunlight, and some grazing deer far to the side. The wind was not so strong in her ears now in the gentle descent, but there wasn't much to hear from this high perch. The absence of sound served to increase Catti Breen's sense of freedom. And she came to see this wind-inspired ride, like the bird flight before it, as a spiritual journey as much as a physical one. She could learn from the tickling wind. On the ground, the world seemed so static and firm, but up here, drifting and floating around on the gusts, it occurred to her that the world was ever in flux, ever in movement. She closed her eyes and let the sensations wash over her. Soon after, she touched down and fell into a short trot. She looked back up at the brilliant sky and reflected on the feelings of freedom, of flight, of falling, of drifting on the breezes. This, then, was the beauty of her communion with Mialiki, she realized. everything she experienced had the power to widen her vision, her thoughts, her possibilities. Truly, she felt blessed. Lady Avelier was awakened from a nap a few days later by Rial, with word that little Rukia was on the move.
Irika, Diamon, and Shaqua Bin have been dispatched to track her,
Rial assured her. Still, Lady Avelier was fast to her scrying pool, gathering more information from Rial as she went. Soon enough, she had conjured up the image of the girl. Rukia, it seemed, was now a wolf, loping along in the general direction of the Desai encampment. Lady Avelier nodded, not surprised.
She will go to look in on her tribe and her parents when night has fallen,
the diviner predicted, and she, Avelier, would be there to watch. She had already inconspicuously visited the Desai several times, invisibly, and knew the layout of the camp and the location of Rukia's parents.
How long shall we play this game, mistress?
Rial asked, and Avelier turned to regard her curiously.
She is being trained,
Rial explained.
She grows more powerful by the day, it seems. She will become harder to catch and harder to control.
The words hit Lady Avelier with the power of truth, and she found herself nodding in agreement.
And we grow weary of this brown plain,
Rial admitted.
We? All of us, said the student. And yourself as well, I would guess.
Lady Avelier found herself smiling at the accusation. She had not trained her students to be mindless pets, after all, cowed into telling her what they thought she would most like to hear. No, far from it. To join the coven of Avelier was to pronounce opinions without fear of retribution. And Lady Avelier had to admit, in this instance, Rial was right.
Go to her secret garden, she instructed the younger woman.
Gather the rest of your peers, even those in pursuit of Rukia, and set the traps as we discussed. It is time for us to bring little Rukia into our net. I have seen enough. We know her strengths and her weaknesses.
Rial bowed and turned to the other two acolytes. Lady Avelier went back to her scrying pool and watched the wolf's progress. Soon enough, as the sun began to set, she saw through the pool the waving white and brown tents of the Desai. She dismissed the enchantment and prepared her next spell, a teleport, which put her very near to the Desai and very near to Rukia. A simple dwiamer of invisibility, another to prevent magical detection, and into the camp walked the diviner, confident and